Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. It is so good to see everyone this morning, especially our visitors. We're thankful we have many visitors with us, and our prayer is that if you're traveling through, that you'll have safe travels, and if you live here in the community, that you will come and be with us again this evening as we come together at 6 o'clock, as well as this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we will be having our monthly singing this Wednesday, and so we encourage all the members as well as the visitors, if you're here, to please come and join us in that singing. It is a time that we can sing songs of praises to our Heavenly Father. It is a time that we can teach and admonish one another through the songs that we sing. And it is a good time to fellowship and to be encouraged by those songs. There are things that lift us up. It helps us to encourage us to be faithful while we're at work and at school and our daily lives. And the songs teach us to be holy and to live holy lives because we serve a holy God. So I would encourage you to make plans to be here this Wednesday for our monthly singing. This morning we're going to be talking about being entertained by sin. And I want to put a disclaimer on my lesson immediately. I do not believe that all entertainment is evil and all entertainment is sinful. And so please don't walk away this morning thinking that I'm teaching that you're not allowed to be entertained as a Christian. Furthermore, I do not believe that everyone needs to run home and burn their televisions. That is not my purpose or my intentions this morning. But if you decide to burn your television after this lesson, please call me because I'd like to see that and see what happens. But that is not my intentions with this lesson. But my intentions with this lesson is for us to pinpoint some things in our lives, maybe examine our individual lives and where we stand when it comes to the entertainment, the things that Hollywood puts out, the things that the world offers us, and where we stand as disciples of Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, John the Apostle writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." I understand the word entertainment is not found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, but I do want us to understand that in principle it is there. John tells us, do not love this world or the things of this world. And that would apply to all kinds of different things that we engage in as Christians in the world that we live in. The very fact that the Bible teaches us that, yes, we may be in this world, but we are not to be of this world. And part of that is the entertainment factor, the aspect of entertainment in this world. And so we want to ask the question this morning, are we entertained by sin? Is that something that entertains us? Is that something that we laugh at? Is that something that we enjoy? It's something that we should each as individuals examine our hearts and determine whether or not that the entertainment that we are involved in or that we engage in, whether or not it is holy entertainment, that it is clean, good entertainment, which there is plenty of in this world, or if it is entertainment that God sees as sinful, as something that is harmful to our spiritual health. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 11, we see some words of Jesus here as he is talking about the eye. Luke chapter 11 and in verse 33. He says, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who may enter may see the light." If you recall in Matthew chapter 6, he teaches us to be lights of this world. Or Matthew chapter 5, rather, that we are to be lights of this world, that we are children of light, that we are let our light shine. We understand that concept. But in verse 34, he says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." Here what we find in Luke chapter 11, that Jesus tells us that the eye is the lamp of the body. And this is very important as we're considering the eye. You know, the proverb writer, chapter 20, verse 20, tells us that the seeing eye the Lord has made. He created our eyes. He created our eyes for a purpose. And the ability to see with our eyes is a wonderful gift that the Lord has given us. And it is a way that we can see the beauty of God's creation. We can see His power at work, and we can see what this world has to offer, and it's good and in its bad. And those things are seen through the eyes. And I think that often we probably take for granted the very fact that we're able to see and all the benefits that we have because of our ability to see, because of the vision that we have. And it's something that we should thank our Father for all that He has done as far as the human body is concerned. The very fact that He took the time to create each and every part of the human body and the function and the abilities that it has, we should be thanking God for those things. But here, Jesus uses the eye to teach us a spiritual lesson. And that is that the eye is a lamp of the body. And so if we think about what Jesus is trying to say here, the spiritual lesson that He is trying to get us to understand is that our eyes can be stumbling blocks to our spiritual health. We already talked about in 1 John chapter 2 that we are not to love the world or the things of the world. And part of that comes through the desires of the eyes, the things that we view. And so when it comes to our spiritual health and the things that we view, we have to understand that we can view evil things, and those things will begin to corrupt our minds. They will begin to affect our minds, to poison our minds. And where we fix our eyes, where we decide to lay our eyes on certain things, and we fix our eyes on that, and we do not move our eyes from those things, that can affect our whole body or our whole life. It is what we view or the things that we read. It can either help us, it can motivate us or encourage us to be good, to think good and positively, or it can affect us as far as in the negative. It can encourage us to be evil. It can influence us. It can cause us to have our vision blurry and not clean or not healthy. And so therefore, when we are walking about, we are stumbling in the dark, so to speak, because we are blinded by the sin that we are viewing. And so we have to ask the question, how is our moral vision? Is it clear? Is it blurred? If we keep our eyes from sin, that's going to help us then to keep our whole bodies, our whole lives from sin. In Luke chapter 8, as Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower here, and he speaks about the very fact that there are going to be some who obey the gospel, and yet they are going to not bear fruit. They're not going to mature. They're going to walk away from God. And notice one of the reasons why that is. Luke chapter 8 and in verse 14, he says, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear," that means they hear the word of God, "but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches," and here's our word, "pleasures of life." And what included in that pleasures of life is evil entertainment. Entertainment that is sinful. Entertainment that influences us to be sinful. And it is because of these pleasures of life that their fruit does not mature, Luke tells us. And so we have to understand that if we view good things, that is going to help us to navigate a path where there may be some stumbling blocks, but we're able to overcome those stumbling blocks because our mind is not being poisoned by the evil entertainment that is out there. Now, you think about the song that we sang growing up as children in Bible class about "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." And I believe that every one of us in here has probably heard that song. We could probably recite it from memory. And yet, it is something that it's almost we have forgotten, or something that we have chosen to put aside and no longer sing anymore. But in reality, why do we sing these songs to our children? It is because we don't want their vision to be clouded by the sin of this world. We don't want them to view things that are evil. We don't want them to see things that are contrary to God's word and to His will. And so we try to, if you want to use the word, shield our kids' eyes from those things and protect them from those things. Because we know that sinful pleasures can be viewed through the eye. And that can affect our thinking, the way we view things, our way of life. All of those things can be affected, and the word can be choked out of us because of the things that we view and that we fix our eyes on and that we dwell on, because it has entered our heart and we have allowed these things to come in. And so it is an important lesson that we learn from Jesus, that the eye is the lamp of the body. It is through the eye that we see these things, and it is because of that we need to protect. You know, the Bible talks about protecting your heart, guarding your heart from sin. Part of that is going to be what you're viewing and what you're watching. How am I going to guard things from coming in? Well, this all also applies to the ears, what we listen to. I'm going to be very careful in the things that I listen to, whether it's the music, whether it's a television show. I'm going to be careful with what I listen to because I don't want evil things to enter in my heart through my ears, nor do I want evil things to enter into my heart or my mind, excuse me, through my eyes. And so are we entertained by sin? I want us to understand, first and foremost, that some entertainment glorifies sin. We watch movies, we watch television shows that have lying and revenge, ungodly lifestyles. That includes cohabitation, where two people who are not married are living together. There's fornication, adultery. Now, in the recent years, we're dealing with homosexuality. You cannot watch a television show without two people of the same sex in a relationship. It is being glorified. It is being promoted. It is being pushed upon us. We are being brainwashed. Our children are growing up in school. They're being taught by the television, and they are learning, and they are believing that this is acceptable, and that we should, that this is how people live, and this is how people are, and we should tolerate these kind of lifestyles because this is what we see on television. We see nudity in movies, criminal activity, sex, drugs, immodesty, dirty dancing, drunkenness, all of these things that God condemns. And we, as Christians, we condemn those things on the surface, do we not? Do we not say that these things are wrong and that they're sinful and that these things will send us to hell? Then why is it that we find ourselves sometimes being entertained by these things? And this is a hard lesson for me to preach because I enjoy movies and I enjoy television shows, and I'm sure you do too. But we have to examine our lives and we have to understand, what does being a disciple of Jesus, when the Bible calls us to be different from the world, what does that involve? Does that involve entertainment that glorifies these things and promotes these things? When in reality, on the surface, we say no to these things? We teach our neighbors and our friends, we teach each other not to engage in these things. And yet, we're watching these things. We laugh at these things. We pay for entertainment that includes these things. We get involved in these things. Think about it. We enjoy movies because we're able to get involved with the characters and with their lives. You know, when a boy and a girl in the beginning of the movie, they hate each other, but then as the timeline goes on, they continue to like each other, and they even fall in love with each other, and we're secretly hoping that they're going to get together, and maybe they'll get married. And yet, what does Hollywood do? That it films them cohabitating or fornicating, and we're watching these things. We watch movies that have criminal activity, and we have people who are taking different drugs, and they're getting drunk, and the things that come from that. We watch those things. We view those things. We allow those things into our mind and into our hearts through the television set, or through the radio, or whatever it may be, through books even. This is including when we're talking about entertainment. We're talking about every kind of medium, whether it's a magazine or whether it's the computer or whether it's television. We allow these things to come into our hearts and into our homes. And these things teach our children. We allow our children to sit there and watch these things. But we get involved with the characters, and we sometimes secretly hope that the bad guy is going to get away, or the bank robber is going to be able to rob more banks. And, you know, we get involved with the characters emotionally. We cry with them and we laugh with them. And yet all these things are going on and we're enjoying it. Why do we do this? What is our motivation for watching sin if this is things that we are engaged in? What's our motivation? Is it our way of enjoying the things of this world and the lives we used to live, maybe, before becoming a disciple of Jesus? You see, now that I've become a disciple of Jesus, I can't participate in these things. Peter tells us enough is enough. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I've got to put these things away. Paul tells us to put these things away. All the apostles tell us to put these things away. Not to practice these things. This list right here that we just looked at, this is the old man. This is the man of sin. This is the man who has no desire for God. But we are to put these things away. So what's our motivation? Is that we can dabble in a little bit of sin, possibly, without the consequences? Without actually engaging in these things? Why are we entertained by the sins that will send us to hell if we were to actually engage in them? Think about these things for a moment. Let these things sink in. Why are we entertained by the sins that Christ died for? Why did He go to the cross? Was it to forgive us of the things that we sometimes engage in as far as our entertainment is concerned? These are questions we have to ask ourselves, brethren, and we have to be honest with ourselves of why do we view these things? Why do we want to get so close to these things without touching it, so to speak? We want to play with fire sometimes when it comes to the entertainment that we watch. Is it because our heart is still there in those kinds of things? We haven't truly possibly given those things up? And so we enjoy to be entertained by sin? What is your motivation? What is our motivation? What does the Bible say? Turn with me to Ephesians for a moment. Now, obviously, you can search the Scriptures. You're not going to find anything that says, do not watch a bad television show or a bad movie. You're not going to find those things in Scripture. But what you are going to find in God's Word, because it is a living, breathing document of His will, and His will goes through every single generation. There is nothing new under the sun. Every principle within the Scripture applies in every single generation and situation that you are in. And we find in the book of Ephesians, as well as elsewhere, we find principles of how to deal with entertainment. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I want us to see that this is divine commentary on modern entertainment. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. We'll start with verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. You want to talk about giving an opportunity to the devil, an opportunity for him to tempt you and to cause you to sin? Then you watch movies and television shows and read magazines that are full of filth and trash, things that are contrary to God's word. That's how you can give opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So we can't even speak profanity, blasphemy, curses, sexual innuendos. We can't speak any of those things, and yet we listen to those things when it comes to our entertainment. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. We're to put these things away from us, and yet we can watch them on television. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper, or your translation may say as fitting among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Are you seeing what Paul is saying here? He is describing what we watch on television. That we are as Christians to put away from our lives, brethren. We are to avoid things that are not fitting for saints. That includes us avoiding entertainment that's going to lead us astray. Watching things that is going to poison and corrupt our mind, not help us to have pure hearts before our God. We are to expose sin. Look at verse 11. Take no part, that means no fellowship, in the unfruitful works of darkness. And let me tell you, evil entertainment is unfruitful works of darkness, brethren. but instead expose them. Look at verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And so we can't even speak about things that are done in the secret. Whether it is sexual morality and what people are doing behind closed doors and the unfruitful works of darkness that they are doing. We're not to have filthy language coming out of our mouth. We're not to be thinking about those things. And yet, by watching television, what's on our minds? What do we see with our eyes that God gave us? We are to abstain from every form of evil, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. How does that apply to our entertainment? Have you ever thought about that? Does that even apply to our entertainment? I would contend that it does, principally speaking. We are to stay away from the appearance of evil. And so that means we need to stay away from sinful entertainment. Again, we're not talking this morning about good, clean, wholesome family entertainment, which there is plenty of. We're not teaching, get rid of your computer and your television. Maybe it's a good idea if we did, but there is good entertainment. We're talking about sinful entertainment. I believe that we can all understand what I'm saying here. We are to abstain from those things. We are to be pure in heart. Jesus tells us in the Beatitudes. In Philippians chapter 4, turn there with me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Can we honestly, let's be honest, brethren, can we honestly think about these things when we are watching a movie that is full of nothing but profanity, taking the Lord's name in vain, having sex scenes and nudity and all of those kinds of things? Can we really keep our minds focused on what is pure? Let's be honest. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, that means you were baptized if you looked at chapter 2. So for those of us who have been baptized into Christ and raised with Him in a resurrection like His, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died. Romans chapter 6 tells us we have died to sin, to no longer practice it. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Can evil, sinful, corrupt, filthy entertainment help us to keep our minds on things that are above, on spiritual things, things that God finds to be pleasing in His sight? So we are to avoid things that are not fitting. We are to expose sin, not even talk about it. We are to abstain. We are to be pure in heart. But we can watch things that God hates, right? Really? Is that true? We can watch these things. We can enjoy them. And someone might be saying, well, you know, I don't necessarily enjoy those things. Well, that's understandable. But do we engage in them? Do we watch them? Do we continue to be entertained by those things? That's basically what it boils down to. You see, how can we say we do not love sin if we love to watch it? Think about that. How can we say that we do not love sin if we love to watch it? Let me ask this. What's the difference? It is sin whether we participate in it or just enjoy watching it. Let me show you what I mean. Romans chapter 1. And there's other passages that we could go to, especially in the book of Psalms, where David talks about how he does not want to show approval of those who do wickedness. Notice what Paul says. Paul lists all these sins: unrighteousness, homosexuality, murder, gossip, all kinds of different things. Disobedient to parents. He lists all these sins. And then in verse 32, he says, Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. They deserve to go to hell, brethren, because they are practicing these things. And yet, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Let me ask this. Are we giving approval to these characters, to these pretenders, to these actors, to the Hollywood producers and directors in the movies by paying for these things and enjoying these things and watching these things? Are we giving approval to the things that they are participating in? Let's put it this way. I like what this man, David Frost, had to say. He says, television is an invention that permits you to be entertained in your living room by people you would not have in your room, in your home. You're sitting there as a family. You would not have two individuals come into your living room and start shooting each other, murdering each other. You would not have people come into your room and start speaking all kinds of profanity. You would not have comedians to come into your house and start telling dirty sexual jokes in front of you and your children. You would not allow a boy and a girl who is not married, even a boy and a girl who is married, to start having relationships right there within your living room in front of you and your children. You would not allow that. You would say, get out of my house. What are you doing? We would not allow these things to go on in our living room. We would not allow to have people just come in and start drinking and getting drunk and dirty dancing and doing drugs in front of us. And yet, when we turn on the television and we choose to engage in evil entertainment that promotes these things, that glorifies these things, what are we doing? We're allowing these things into our home. And they are corrupting and poisoning our mind. And they are teaching our children. And our children are believing these things are okay. But someone says, oh, well, I send the kids to bed. We watch these things when the kids go to bed. Oh, really? So as Christians, we can watch these things, but our children cannot? Or it's a matter of we have grown up and we've matured, and so we can kind of put aside that song that says, be careful, little lies, what you see. Because, you know, see, there's an age limit on that song. You see, only the 10-year-old, up to 10 years old, you sing that song. Beyond that, well, you can just watch and do whatever you want to. You can view whatever you please because you don't have to sing that song anymore. You're an adult now. Do we really believe that? How close do we want to get to the world, brethren? Television is an invention that permits you to be entertained in your living room by people you would not have in your home. That you would not allow them to practice these things in your home. And yet that's what we're doing. We're opening up our homes to that. So what's the solution to the problem? There's a couple of things. Surely we could get rid of our televisions. This is one solution, if that's what it boiled down to. But we can turn the trash off. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, Paul tells us to abhor what is evil, to hate what is evil. And so when it comes to evil entertainment, let's abhor it. Let's hate it for what it is. Let's recognize for it for what it is. It's trash. It's filth. It's corruption. It is things that the devil takes pleasure in because he knows that a Christian who cannot participate in these things, but he can go into his living room or his bedroom and his computer and he can view these things, well, he is now getting as close as he can to the world. He's enjoying these things. He's being entertained by them. And that's where the devil is going to tempt. And that's where the devil is going to try to corrupt. And that is where the devil is going to show, this is the lifestyle you can have if you follow me. I'll let you do all of these things if you follow me. We've got to stay away from this trash. Turn it off. Another solution is make a commitment. Turn with me to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Psalm 101, verse 3, David here says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Yes, these are actors. They are fake characters. But brethren, on television, they are acting out sin. They are participating in sin. We ought to hate that. We ought to find that disgusting. We ought to find that worthless. We ought not to put that before our eyes. And yes, it's hard. Yes, there's probably some in the audience thinking right now, well, that means I'm going to have to turn this television show off. I'm not going to be able to watch this anymore and watch this movie. That may mean that if we want to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. It may be we have to make a commitment in our eyes that we're not going to watch these things. As hard as it may be. Because I'm not stupid. It's entertaining. It's fun to watch. Let's be real. It's fun to watch. But is it right in God's sight? That's the question. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul teaches us to practice self-control as a disciple of Jesus. So that means I need to practice self-control, control myself from watching these things. So I need to turn the trash off. I need to make a commitment. I don't need to make excuses like I can handle it. I'm old enough. I'm mature enough to watch this. Because that is where the devil's going to get you. When he says, as Paul says, if you recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, take heed lest you fall. When we sit there and we say, well, we can watch these things. We're going to be fine. We're going to be okay. I can watch a movie if you do a study on movies and how, as far as profanity, just look at that factor, how that's grown within movies. Now we have movies that have 500 F-words, and we have movies that have over 700 different words in there. Okay, and these words were constantly being attacked. Our ears are constantly hearing these things, and our minds are being corrupted with that. And you think we can handle that? You think we can listen to that all the time and yet we're never going to be influenced to say those things or to think those things in our mind? Don't make excuses. See, that's what happened. When we make excuses, then we get beyond what shocks us. And we get beyond pricking our conscience. We get beyond blushing. And we get beyond, past feeling. We become desensitized to the entertainment. It no longer affects our minds when we see evil things on television because we've gone past feeling. We've come numb to it. And so it's, in the very beginning we used to fast forward through the inappropriate scene between a male and a female. And we used to try to hurry up and mute the television before the profanity is we could, here it comes, and we'd mute it. But now, we've become numb to those things. And we don't have to necessarily fast forward through it. We might kind of turn away a little bit. Are we kidding ourselves when we do those kinds of things? Another solution is that we can review movies. Some things that me and my wife like to do, and I would encourage you to do, before you watch a movie, is go to websites like kidsandmind.com and Plugged In and Common Sense Media. These are good sites, and they will tell you what you're going to find in those movies and if they are appropriate for your kids and for you to watch. Some of them will have a little diagram like this, a little image, and it will kind of give you an idea. You can just look at that, and you'll know, better not watch that. Look at all the violence and the sex and the language that's involved in that and the drinking, the drugs, and the smoking. We better just stay away from that. But it will also break down for you just how much or what the words, how many words there are, what it says. And so this is a good solution. If you don't know about a movie, don't just turn it on and allow that stuff come in. Go to these websites and try them out. Another one that me and Jenny use that I really enjoy is VidAngel, vidangel.com. It is a service that you have to pay for. But what it does is it allows you to eliminate and edit out different things that you may not want. So if you don't want profanity, here's one movie. Look at all that. Profanity, 49 words. And that includes all your, four-letter words, things of that nature. Crude, blasphemy, taking the Lord's name in vain. I don't want to hear those things, so I can eliminate those things. Sexual innuendo, sexual things, discriminatory. I can eliminate all those things. Here's a popular show. There we go. Here's a popular show that I know a lot of people watch. Here's the crude, the sexual, the blasphemy, the profanity, immodesty, kissing, nudity, sex, all these kind of things. With VidAngel, you can eliminate all these things. You don't have to watch them. It will completely take those things out of your movie. So it's a very good streaming service. I would encourage you to look into these things as responsible Christians who want good, clean entertainment. But let me say this. If it has all these things, maybe we should just turn it off in general. Think about that. We don't want these things in our homes. We should not want these things in our homes. We say no to these things. And finally, we need to question everything watched or read. And that goes along with reviewing the movies before we decide to watch them. For instance, is this something that God hates? Is this fitting for saints? What if the Lord was to return as I am watching this program?
does this entertainment glorify God? You know, there's plenty of passages that talk about glorifying God in all that we do. Well, that includes in the entertainment that we're watching. Does it glorify God in what we're viewing with our eyes that He gave us? This clicker's not working. There he goes. Will this affect my influence as a Christian? Well, my friends, as I go to work and I say, oh man, did you see the latest episode of so-and-so? And my non-Christian friends think to themselves, woo, there was some major stuff in that, and you're claiming to be a Christian. And you're watching this? Will it affect my influence as a Christian by the things that I watch? Will it affect me? Will it influence me in my mind to fall away from the Lord? Is this a good and wise use of my time as a Christian? Research this one. We spend 2 to 5 hours a day plus watching television. Think about that. We wonder why there's a shortage of evangelism within the Lord's church. Is it because we're all focused on the television? Just a thought. Does this entertainment draw me away from Christ in my mind as I'm watching it? Does this entertainment allow me to set my mind on things above? These are questions we have to ask, brethren, when we are doing anything, not just entertainment, but anything in our life. If we want to seek to glorify God at all times, then these are questions that should be on our mind pertaining to any subject, but specifically this morning to entertainment. The simple fact of the matter is we cannot have a pure mind when we fill it with that which is impure. I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. We live in a society that worships entertainment, bows down to it, loves it, pays billions of dollars every year for it. But God has called us to be different. And I understand that is hard from time to time. It's hard for me and my wife. I know it's hard for y'all. These are things, though, that we have to make decisions. We have to make choices. How are we going to live our lives? Are we going to seek for holy, pure lives or not? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you can see that God is strict in many things. And that's for our benefit. The very fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins is because, as Peter says, so that we'll go and we'll practice righteousness. That's why we die to sin, so we'll practice righteousness. That's what God wants from us. He wants holy people. He wants people who will worship Him, not entertainment. He wants people who will seek Him, not evil entertainment, and focus their lives and fix their eyes on those things. Because when we do that, we take our eyes off of Jesus. That's the honest truth. So if you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, place your faith in Him. Repent of your sins. If it involves you repenting of the entertainment that you watch of and making a commitment that you're not going to watch these things any longer, then do that this morning. Confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized in His name for the forgiveness of your sins before it's eternally too late, so that you can have a hope of heaven with Him, and you can have a home with Him in heaven. And live faithfully to Him. And if you're a child of God, and maybe you've been caught up in some evil entertainment, please consider this lesson. Please. It's something for all of us. That we have to be on guard and protect our hearts. We need to confess to our Father if we've been dabbling in these things, and we've been engaging and participating in these things. As together we stand and we sing.